This is tape one of an interview between Karen Duder and the date is the 6th of November 1998. Can I ask when and where you were born?
I was born in the small town of Alliston in Ontario. The local hospital probably served the surrounding communities. I actually was at the time living 10 miles away from the hospital in a little village called Beaton. Mm-hmm.
And before the interview, you were telling me about your dad's occupation and your mother as well. Could you tell me again what they did?
Sure, Karen. Well, my dad was the youngest of eight children, and my grandfather died, leaving nobody to provide for the family. So he went to work at an early age. He started as a helper in a grocery store, worked 25 years actually for that man in the grocery store, and then finally took the immense step of purchasing his own store, and he and my mother started the grocery store, and we as always lived behind the grocery store. So my sister and I were always involved in the grocery store and started working, particularly me, at a very young age. Mm.
So just two girls in the family?
Just two girls, and okay. My sister's 2.5 years younger than I.
Okay. Can you remember more or less how old your parents would have been when you were born?
Yes, my mother was 25, I believe, and my dad was 30. My dad was 5 years older than my mom.
And were they born in Canada, the two of them?
They were both born within 10 miles of where I was born. I guess that's typical of small town Ontario. And probably both of their parents were born in the same area too. Mm. So it was quite an adventure for me to move to the West Coast and leave a community where my whole family was born and raised.
And was religion important in your family when you were growing up?
Absolutely. Religion was the whole basis on my family. I started going to Sunday school from the time I was probably 3 or 4 years old. And then as soon as I was old enough, I became a Sunday school teacher. I played piano for the Sunday school and then stayed on and went to church. Mm. And when I was growing up, I thought it was very important. Even if my parents didn't feel like going to church, I would go. Mm. So yes, it was very important.
What denomination?
Church of England, Anglican.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how old were you when you became a Sunday school teacher?
I probably did the 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds when I was probably 12 years old or maybe 13. Mm. So I started the whole process very young myself. I was probably not old enough to be a teacher. I still needed to be taught a lot of things.
And you were talking before about helping out in the store.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. How old were you when, what did you begin to do at first before you moved on to greater responsibilities, I guess?
I guess the first thing I can remember doing, and I would probably be 7 or 8 years old, I would start unpacking groceries from their shelf. And I loved it. I met the people and the customers would always talk to you and kid you, and it was just part of my life. I never thought about it. It used to bug me a little bit when the kids were having a ball game and after school, and I knew that probably the truck was coming in that day and the groceries needed to be unpacked, and I would go and do it. But it was just part of my life, and I accepted it. And as soon as I could reach the cash register, I was involved with doing sales. And then later on, I worked with my dad, usually around the meat block. I could cut the head off a chicken or clean it or cut pork chops or steaks, and got to know the customers that liked their their beef well aged and hung in the cooler and all that sort of thing. So I was very close to my father. And that isn't saying that I wasn't close to my mother either, because we always had a good rapport, but I did work very closely with my father all the time, through public school and through high school.
Mm. Did those responsibilities that you had, did they seriously cut into your playtime growing up, or did you also have time to play with friends on top of that?
I always... The way I remember my childhood, first of all, was a happy one. I did not have a lot of problems. I always had food. Sometimes I would be hurt because I couldn't get the clothes I wanted, but it never was a problem for me. As far as playing, I always played ball. As long as I can remember, I played softball. I skated, but not figure skating. I always played hockey. My first pair of skates, I can remember, I still have them. They were Barbara Ann Scott skates. And Barbara Ann Scott at the time was one of our championship Canadian skaters. And they still fit me. So I probably got them about age 11 or 12, because I don't think my feet grew since then. Maybe spread out a little now. But yeah, so I did do my ball and my hockey in the winter. But I sometimes remember feeling that I had to work more than the other kids. And I did. But I don't think I resented it terribly. I didn't think about it. I just did it.
Mm. And before we began taping, you were talking about how your sister would be doing different things. She would be working more with your mother?
That's right, Karen. Yeah, she worked more in the house, cleaning and baking, and therefore she knits beautifully, and I can't knit a scarf, and she's bakes a far better pie than I do, and things like that. And to this day, she probably is more meticulous about her house and her cleaning abilities and that sort of thing, because yeah, she did work more closely with mother, and of course I with dad.
Was that because, did you have any particular aversion to doing those things, or?
I guess because I was older, I was drawn into the work in the store before she was quite able to, and then it just became routine. She had to work later on in the store too, but she was never as strong as I was, so I always ended up going. It was interesting, in those years we had a little grocery route that took groceries to farmers in the area, and the farmers would phone in their orders, and then we would deliver them. And early in my life, I was the one that went with our hired man to deliver those groceries. And so it probably didn't sound like much help, but in fact it was. I used to do little things. We would exchange in those days. Sometimes we would exchange a bag of groceries or a box of groceries for a bag of potatoes. There was still some bartering going on in those years. So I don't think Blanche had an aversion to working in the store. It just was circumstances.
Right. Apart from playing ball and skating, did you, when you were younger, did you play any other games with the kids in the area? Were there any special friends that you had?
Oh, very definitely. And some of those are still friends today. I keep in touch with them. We didn't have the elaborate games that children have today, so we made our own fun. One of the favorite games we used to play was called Run, Sheep, Run. And we formed teams up, and one team would hide, and the other team captain would come back with a map of where his group was hiding, or her group, and we would go and search for them. That was the game that I remember very, very much. And we had a little creek that ran through our town, not far from our town, and I can remember in the summer being able to go down and swim. So we did other things, but there were no brownies or guides in our community. So our life evolved around the community arena there were, as I was a teenager, there were dances there, and we would go to dances. But we didn't get involved in many other sports until we actually got in high school. And then we were exposed to all of the team sports. And I was very involved in that, in volleyball and basketball, and played in the high school band. But I think that I probably would have liked to have played a little more with my friends. But I don't look back on it as a very negative thing. I enjoyed my growing up very much. My mother was very strict. My father wasn't quite so strict.
When you say strict, what kinds of things was she strict about?
If she said we were to be home at 9 o'clock, then we were to be home at 9 o'clock. And we usually didn't question it. And if we didn't come home at 9 o'clock, we knew about it.
What would be the consequences?
Well, she used to have what we called a lilac gad. I don't know if you know the word gad, but it was a little stick off the lilac tree, and we used to get it across the back of the legs. And I guess that's child abuse today, but it wasn't then. I never thought of it as then very serious. We just knew that Mom meant business, and she didn't have to use it very often. My dad used to have a strap in the closet that was cut in strips, and it hung there all of my life. I never saw it come off the hook. So it was
more just a threat.
Yeah. I think my mom was the boss in the family, really. And I never thought about that growing up either. I would go equally to my mom and dad for permission. I don't think I would favor one or the other because one was stricter than the other.
Now, you said that your town was something like 400
to 500? 400 to 500,
yeah.
Okay. Very small town.
Was it fairly uniform in terms of ethnicity, or were there different races there? Or
We were pretty well Anglo-Saxon. There was one Jewish family that I can think of. There were no black families. I can't even remember sitting here right now of other nationalities who lived in that small town. I can only think in terms of Anglo-Saxon. Now, there may have been, but that wasn't a priority for me. I didn't even know what the word prejudice meant when I was growing up. Everybody in that community were friends, and everybody did things, and we didn't look down on anybody. And that sounds very, I don't know, smug maybe, but that's the way it was. I never thought about it. And later on when I raised a family, that's the way I raised the kids. If they chose a black friend, they were as welcome in my home as a Chinese. And probably that's why they're all intercultural now. Because I do have a Japanese daughter-in-law.
What about, was there, in the town, was there any family whose kids you weren't allowed to play with? Was there a sort of bad family or not, you know, quite respectable family?
Any moms, Karen, living behind us was one of the poorest families in town. They had about 8 kids. The father was the army, and is in the army, and he left the family. And my parents put groceries on their table, and I know they were never paid for. And one of those girls is still one of my very best friends in Toronto, and I hardly ever go to Toronto when I don't phone her and talk to her. In later years, that same woman, who's had a very successful life in terms of finances, presented my mother with a sapphire ring to thank her for those years. So they were part of our family. Poor or not poor.
So it sounds like a community that wasn't really divided?
If it was divided, it wasn't divided from my perspective. My parents were I can't remember them ever saying to me, you can't associate with that person or that family.
What kind of other values did you grow up with?
Well, I think probably the golden rule was the crux of our whole family. And my parents both lived it, probably to the extreme sometimes, to their detriment. Because having a grocery store, if somebody didn't have the money, my dad had a heart as big as the world, and he suffered in his pocket, but never complained about it. I never heard about it till I was adult, probably, of the people who didn't pay their debts. So I think he really did unto others as he expected to be done unto, and that's the way we lived. It was a good life.
What about when you were growing up and sort of thinking here a little ahead into your teenage years, how much information were you or your sister given about what was going to happen, about menstruation and that kind of thing, for example?
Practically none. I can remember the day I got my first period. And I can remember my comment. I can see the bathroom. I can remember the comment. And my comment was, why did this have to happen to me? I don't actually remember my mother talking to me about it. I had read the little books that girls get at school. And I don't think we actually got them at school. I think we shared them as young girls. I can't actually remember my mother giving it to me. She may have. I don't honestly remember that, Karen, but we were told very little. But I was an avid reader, so I certainly had read lots. And I went to the local library, and I probably educated myself a lot, much more than I was educated by my parents.
She probably hadn't been told herself ahead of time.
I would be sure that would be the truth. Because she was raised by her grandparents, so I would think that would be the truth. My father was so shy that I don't believe. In fact, just the other day, and at 62 years of age, I was talking with my sister, and she said to me, "Do you remember ever seeing Dad's legs?" And I said, "No, I really don't, because he never swam at the beach. He never had trunks on. He was so shy. I think he would sometimes sit in front of us with his undershirt, but that would be the absolute most that we would ever see of my father. So he was a very, very private person.
Were they both fairly modest?
Yes, I would say they both were. For sure, they were.
So did you know, for example, when you were growing up, did you have any idea what sex was all about or anything like that?
Oh, I love to read romance magazines and books. So I can remember from quite a young age reading romance novels and, I guess, basically garbage. But you learned a lot from those books. So anything I learned, I really believe I read until I got in high school. And then, even then, it wasn't discussed in health classes like it is today. Very, just on the fringes. So I didn't learn much from my parents, I have to say that.
Where those magazines and novels that you were getting, would you be buying them, or was there a local library?
Oh, the library. I belonged to the library. I can remember going to the library when I was very young.
And these, of course, would have been heterosexual stories.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. I didn't know the word lesbian or gay, Karen. I didn't know it at all.
From that reading material, what picture did you have of dating and courtship before you actually began dating?
Picture of dating and courtship. A boy would ask you to go out, you would go to a movie. If you were really lucky, he would take you to the local dance. And in the early years that I went out with a boy, sex was the farthest thing from my mind. I guess you would say I would be paranoid about becoming pregnant. Some of my friends did, and I knew that as early as grade 8. I can remember the discussion in town and the shame that her family felt, and there was such a stigma on that happening that I really have to say I was paranoid about having sex before marriage. The result was I didn't.
How old were you when you did start going out with boys?
14.
And was it the way you had envisioned?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Go to the movies. That was our entertainment. And then we all, and the dance. I love to dance. I can remember dancing. You see, part of it probably stems from the fact that my parents never left us at home when they went to a shower, a dance. We would go, fall asleep in the corner. And so we were dancing as little girls from the time we could walk. And so that was a big part of our community, was evolved around the church and dancing and small community events. And we were always there. Our babysitters were, I can't remember ever having a babysitter. Mm.
Those dances, was there any alcohol at those dances? No
alcohol. Not when I was first started going to them. Probably by the time I was 17 or 18, then I knew that some people were having drinks. And by the time, probably I would be 17 by the time I first had a drink of alcohol. It wasn't in our home, except at Christmas we used to have sherry at Christmas dinner. And I can remember having it when I was probably 12 or 13. But that was the only time, other than communion. Mm. We always, being in the Anglican Church, would have communion wine. But my family didn't have alcohol as a normal thing.
What about smoking? Did you or any of your friends at school smoke?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can remember, I talked earlier about going to swim in the local creek, and I can remember as children, we would get the roots of the big elm trees that grew along the river. And if they were good and dry, you could get a nice little puff going up, and we used to smoke these roots. When we were probably 9 or 10, when we went to the swimming hole. I can remember that. And then I can also remember taking dried rose hips and rolling them in newspaper.
Mm.
So, yes, I smoked. Mm. And then I never actually... I can't remember ever actually smoking a cigarette until high school. And then when I was in high school and we'd go on... because I played on the basketball and volleyball teams, I actually had a corncob pipe that I used to smoke on these trips. Thought it was a big deal. But never became a permanent smoker till after I was married, and then I smoked for several years.
Did either of your parents smoke?
No.
No.
Never, ever, my parents. Unless it was before I arrived on the scene, but never during my whole life did they smoke.
So it was kind of a peer group thing.
Yes, it was.
Right.
Definitely peer group. Mm. Fun. Challenge living on the edge as a woman, smoking our elm roots.
Now, you told me earlier that your nickname when you were growing up was Tuffy.
Yeah, sure was.
Can you explain why how old were you when you started getting that name?
How old was I? Well, because I always loved to play sports, I knew that the boys played better football than the girls, so I would be out playing with the boys, and I didn't take any guff from them. If they tackled me hard, I gave it back to them. And so probably it would start when I was 9 or 10, and I loved playing with the boys as much as the girls, even though I wasn't interested in the boys themselves. And they started calling me Tuffy, probably 9 or 10 years old. And that stuck right through public school. And then, probably in high school, then I started looking at boys more seriously. I didn't look at them certainly in public school at all. So three or four years, that was my name, Tuffy, but it disappeared when I went to high school.
Hmm. How did you like to dress when you were growing up?
Jeans. Jeans and plaid shirts.
Hmm. So you, were you at all attracted to dresses and that kind of?
I wore dresses because when I went to Sunday school and church, it was expected that I wore a dress, and I wore them. I can't remember complaining about that. If I had a choice of a dress, I probably chose a very conservative one, where my sister always was in frills. But not me. If I had to wear it, it had to be simple. So, but I would prefer always to wear jeans or shorts.
Now, did that change when you hit puberty?
I guess it did. If I look back on my grade 8 pictures, there are a lot of the pictures I'm wearing plaid skirts, so, or tunics. It wasn't, we didn't have to wear a school costume or anything, but I can remember blue tunics and long white blouses, and uniforms always were attractive to me, and still are. I love to see a woman in a uniform. So I don't remember one way or the other being, like, I never refused. I don't think I ever refused to wear a skirt or a dress. But I know I preferred jeans.
So was there ever any feeling in there of actual boyishness or just?
Well, everything I did, working with my dad and carrying groceries and unpacking crates and cutting meat, all of those things I really enjoyed. And through public school, I can remember in public school, in grade 3, I can remember my teacher. I can see her today. Her name was Margaret Veach, and she was tall and blonde and beautiful. And I even went to her wedding and took pictures at her wedding. I still have those pictures. And I used to love when she would go skating, and I would ask her to skate with me. And I never, ever had a crush on a male teacher. So the signs were there. And in high school, it was the same, especially our PT teacher. So, did I answer your question?
Yeah. So you would have been how old when you had that first
crush? Well, because the local teacher in grade 1, who was no kindergarten then, boarded with me. I actually started school when I was 4 in grade 1. So 4 or 5, I turned 5, and then so 5, 6, 7, 8. So I'd probably be 7 years old when I first recognized how much I fell in love with my grade 3 teacher. And it stayed. I can remember having a crush on her through 7 and 8, and even when I went to high school, and she still was very athletic and used to go skating at the local skating rink, I would still like to skate with her. I still know where she is today. She lives in London, Ontario.
How did that feel? What kind of feelings were you having towards her?
Wanted to do everything for her after class and was a real teacher's pet, and would never, ever do anything to offend her. Bend over backwards to do well. And I did. I was first in my class in grade 3. I remember. I think I still have my report card. So she had a great influence on my life. And her mother also was a very good friend of my mother. So even though she was older than I always kept in touch. I always wanted to know how Margaret was. That was probably her first teaching job, so she wasn't very old either.
Sort of 18 or 19?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, because in those days you didn't have to have a university degree.
Yeah.
Just go to teacher's college for a year. So,
did you have any of those kinds of feelings about any of the girls in your class, or was it just that stage teachers?
My girlfriends were my best friends. I always found, and even in high school, I used to think about this a lot. The boys always came to me for advice. They always talked their troubles to me, but they never were amorous with me. They always cried on my shoulder. And in high school, it was the same way. Hmm. My best friends in high school were all girls. And I can remember maybe once wishing one boy would ask me out, but I wasn't involved with boys that much in high school until I actually went out with a grade 13 school student when I was in grade.
You were just telling me about, I guess, when you began dating in high school. At that point, had you had any sort of thoughts about, why did you decide to date at that point, I guess, is what I'm asking.
I guess probably because all of my friends had boyfriends. And when I was asked to go out, I went out. I had very few boyfriends. I think I went out with two boys before I went out with the guy I finally married. So I had very little experience with men. Always could talk to them, always was comfortable with them, but never romantic. Involved, and yet the man I finally married, I actually went out with him when I was 15, and I was married by the time I was 18. So I guess it was the old standard that was set that girls got married and had kids and probably were a nurse, a teacher, or a secretary, and that was life. That was the way it was. Very few girls from my town did anything else out of those three careers. In fact, all of my close friends, that's where they ended up, in one of those three. And all of them married. All of them. In my grade 8 class, every girl married. I think one of them didn't have any children.
Now, you mentioned earlier that because of fears of pregnancy, no sex was involved before marriage.
That's right.
When you were dating, though, was there any kind of necking or?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And lots of heavy petting, but I never actually had intercourse before I was married.
And where would you find the opportunity for all of this petting?
In cars. Yeah, in cars, down back lanes. We knew all the back lanes. And yeah, for sure. Mm.
How long would you have been going out with a boyfriend before any of that happened? And who would have made the first move?
The first two boyfriends I had, I really didn't do anything more than kiss and hug them. That was it. And if anything started to get beyond that, I can see myself with one of those guys saying, when he was getting a little beyond that, said I would get out of the car. I just couldn't allow myself to do that. I didn't allow myself to do that. And I knew other girls were doing more than I was, but it just wasn't in me to do it, and I couldn't do it. And when I started going out with the guy I eventually married, we went out for a long time before any serious beyond kissing and hugging happened. He was very laid back about all of that. But when we became serious, I really intended to go on to university from high school. It was my full intention. The thing I wanted to be was a lawyer. And in grade 13, he said, if you're going on to school, then I'm going elsewhere. I need to find somebody else. And he presented that the idea that he wanted to marry me then. He wanted to marry me. And I was still only 17 when he did that, because I finished in June of whatever year, 54, finished high school, June 54, and I'd be 17. So he said if I went to university, he would be gone. So I said, well, I have to have some type of career to fall back on, and so I'm going to apply for teacher's college. And he said, okay, that would be fine. 1 year was okay. So I went to Toronto that fall to teacher's college, and that January he presented me with a ring and asked me to marry him. And I had just turned 18 the October before that, and we were married that June before I even began to teach. So, and I don't regret being married. I had, I have four healthy, good children and lots of grandchildren. And the marriage, I didn't know anything else. I had very little experience with men, and I felt I was in love with him. When I look back on it and have experienced the love I have with the woman I live with, it was nothing like the love I feel for her. So I had nothing to relate to in agreeing to marry the man I married. But I had a good life. It wasn't abusive. I never lacked anything. And so I don't have any regrets. I got off track a bit there.
No, that's fine. So in the end, so you got married before you were to go teaching. Now, am I correct in assuming that you then didn't go teaching?
No, I went teaching.
Ah.
And moved back from the city, back into the community, and lived 10 miles from where I was, well, 2 miles from the hospital I was born, 10 miles from the community I was raised in. Lived on a farm and taught at Base Borden, a local army base, for 3 years. The third year, I had a child, and the second year I had a child in the August, and went back to teaching that following year, and then found myself pregnant again, and then decided with two babies it was too much. So I actually only taught 3 years, three full years.
And your first child was born what year?
In 57, married in 55, and she was born in the August of 57.
Right. And then the children would have kept you busy from that point on.
That's right.
Yep. Yep. Okay.
But still active in the church. That was always a part. But now I've changed churches. Because my husband was raised in the United Church, I then was involved with the United Church, and through my whole marriage was for 30 years involved in the United Church. And then I have returned to the Anglican Church subsequently.
To backtrack for a moment, when you were growing up, you've already told me that you used to read magazines and novels. Was there any other kind of stuff that you read as well?
The things that I read were only related to the schooling I was having at the time. If we were studying a certain author, then I was reading that from school. But I wouldn't go in, because if I was, for instance, if we were studying Hugh McClellan, Two Solitudes. I wouldn't go to the library and get another of his books. That wasn't my nature. Mm. I really was into the light reading, romance type of thing, and probably that was my only way that I was learning anything about the, well, probably, I don't know, maybe I was looking for romance in the books I was reading. I don't think I had that terrifically inquiring mind that I probably should have had, but I don't know. I was always an honor student. I concentrated on what I was studying and I worked hard at it, but I didn't go beyond.
What about newspapers? Did you ever read any newspapers when you were growing up?
Just the local weekly newspaper would be all I read. And yes, I would read that, but I cannot remember reading like a daily paper. I don't believe we had one come into the home. I can't remember it if it came. I can't remember.
Did you keep a journal?
No. Hmm. I never. I remember having diaries, but I never was faithful to them. We called them diaries then.
Yeah.
I think my sister had one with a key that I always was curious about, but I didn't do one. I was too busy. I didn't have time. I was working or playing or going to school. Mm. And oh yes, and in through that, one thing we haven't mentioned, I took piano lessons from the time I was probably 8 or 9 too. So any spare time between all these other things, I was faithful to, like, I wasn't a good, I didn't have any natural talent, so I had to work hard at my lessons even to get them up to be acceptable by the teacher. Hmm. She never cracked my fingers, but however, she probably should have.
What about when you were a teenager and all of you were dating and you were going to dances and this kind of thing, and you did mention that some girls that you knew did get pregnant, would the group of you discuss sex at all amongst yourselves?
Oh boy, Karen. You know something? I don't remember doing that. Mm. I think it was just all hush hush. I can remember when Muriel got pregnant. We whispered a little bit about it, but we didn't discuss it in terms of the actual act or the details of it. Or no, we didn't, we just, it was very hush hush sort of thing. I can't remember even hardly talking about my period to my friends. It wasn't an open subject. I can't remember doing that.
Mm. Now obviously you were aware that it wasn't the done thing to get pregnant before marriage.
Oh, I was, very.
Do you know, can you remember where that information came from?
I guess from my own mind. I just believed that it wasn't right. Hmm. And where that developed, I haven't got a clue. Because my parents didn't talk to me about it. They never restricted me. Like, if I went out on a date, they didn't quiz me like mad. I just automatically told them, you know, we went to the show. If we were out necking, that was probably, I lied there and said we went for a milkshake usually in those days, or a sundae. Not so much coffee. Kids didn't seem to be into coffee in those days. So I was under no pressure or regimentation from the home. It was just an inner belief of mine personally. And I don't think I discussed it with my other friends because I can't remember doing that. That was strictly my own idea. I had decided that I was not having intercourse before I was married, and I didn't. And I don't know where that developed from. It was just from me, the person.
At what age did you know what intercourse was? That you weren't going to you were. How did you know what that boundary was between, you know, what you were prepared to do and what you definitely weren't?
I would say the first year of my high school was in our small community high a continuation school in my 400-500 population town. We had two-room high school. So we received no sex education there that I remember at all. So it would be grade 10 when I then moved to a larger community school that had about 1,200 students. And we did have formal health classes. And so that's when we started talking more about sex. We did actually get a little smidgen of sex education. Mm-hmm. So probably that was when I really, I mean, I knew what intercourse was from all of these books I used to read, but I actually knew more about it, and that would be grade 10. Mm. So I would be, I guess, 15. Mm. 15, yeah. Mm. Or today, I mean, kids know so soon. Yeah.
Did you, once you started dating boys, did you continue to have any feelings towards women or girls at the same time?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the most fun times I remember were the pajama parties with the girls, and it was funny. I really didn't have strong attractions to men at all. I've already stated that. The one thing I wanted to be able to do with a man was dance. I always wanted to dance. I loved to dance from I can remember when. And for me, you had to have a boyfriend to go dancing, because you would never dance with a woman. You would never dance with a girl, except in PT class. And that was wonderful, because then we did square dancing, we did tango, and it was always with the girls, because we didn't have any integrated physical education classes. Mm-hmm. So I really didn't have a very broad experience with males growing up. As friends and playing sports, yes, but. And then I got away from that in high school more, too, because we were segregated into girls volleyball and girls basketball and girls hockey. And so I didn't do the football thing anymore. It wasn't ladylike.
Were you told that or?
No. Just happened. Mm. I don't remember ever, but anybody, I still love to get out and throw a football with the boys. Mm. I guess that's probably why I was in the band, so I followed the football, but I didn't actually play anymore. Mm.
When you were dancing with the girls in PT, did that feel any different to when you danced with a boy?
Mm-hmm.
What was the difference?
I had some crushes on a lot of girls in high school. I liked to know what they were doing and where they were and what they were, and became really close to them. And all of those women that I had crushed on, none of them turned out to be lesbian. Funny, eh? They mustn't have any feelings at all for me. It was all one-sided. None of them. Isn't that amazing? Mm. So, yeah, I enjoyed that very much. But I sexually, I never thought about them in terms of having sex with them. I didn't know what sex with a woman was. I knew nothing about it. I knew the word. I knew that women love women, but that's it. I didn't know anything any more than that.
So when did you learn that there were women who loved women?
I guess after I got married, and I can remember two women who lived in our small community who lived together. And hearing comments about, oh, she's kind of male-looking, and snide remarks about it. But you know, it didn't impact on me hardly at all. It just rolled off me like water off a duck's back. I never thought about it. And I can't remember thinking about it until I actually fell in love so strongly that I had to be near her, I had to talk to her, I had to phone her, I had to write her letters. And I did that without her even knowing who I was, and I didn't know what was happening to me. And I was 4 years old. So I had no experience at all, and no knowledge, even though I knew. Even after I was married, I still played on a women's ball team. Drove miles to do it and loved to go to the pub afterwards, but I had absolutely no knowledge of a sexual feeling. I know I felt good to be with women, but I had no sexual feelings. I guess I didn't allow myself, or I didn't know. It just didn't happen.
What about when you did have crushes on girls, did you ever feel in any way that you were different from other girls around you?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. It's funny, but I didn't. I just knew that I was happy around women and had very close, no really strong romantic ties to many males, but I didn't address it. I didn't look at myself and say, you really are happier when you're with women. I didn't do that. I wasn't conditioned. I had no experience. None at all.
So you were 40, did you say, when you fell in love with a woman?
Yes. And feelings that were so far, so different from the feelings I felt that I was in love with when I married a man. And the frustration, the writing, I wrote letters and tore them up and didn't know what was happening, felt unclean and spiritually ashamed and not knowing what to do. And then finally trying to learn about who I was and trying to get information and not knowing who to talk to, because I didn't know a lesbian. So it was very difficult.
This was in the 70s?
Yeah. 75, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
For a whole year, I lived in this turmoil. And it was turmoil.
Now, I'll let you know at this point that you can refuse to answer any question.
Okay.
I'm going to throw a phrase at you, a phrase that one often hears when talking about sexuality, especially for a certain period, heterosexuality, and that is, lie back and think of Mother England.
Okay.
Did you ever feel that applied to you in terms of when you were married and the physical side of your relationship? Was that a fulfilling?
Yes, it was. Funnily enough, it was. I had no other experiences to base it on. And yes, I reached orgasm and I didn't mind sex. I enjoyed sex. And everything was fine until I had sex with a woman. And then it was, and I still was in a married situation for 10 years. So that was very difficult times, because then I really wasn't interested in sex with my husband. Mm. So that was difficult. And eventually it didn't happen anymore. Because he became aware, too, that I was no longer a very good sexual partner. So, but yes, I did. I suppose I couldn't be classed as bisexual because I wasn't having a bisexual relationship only for that last period. And then I had swung to enjoying sex with a woman so much more. So, but yes, I think we had a very good sexual life.
Was it, was there any kind of a learning curve for you in that? Like, did you have any ideas about what it might be like before it actually happened with him and then discovering that with each other?
I had preconceived ideas about what it should be. From all the readings that I had done, which I don't think a lot of women had even done that. At least I had done that, and so I expected certain things. Preconceived. We didn't do any kinky sex. I think it was pretty straightforward sex, and so we didn't use chains or do anything extreme. So I think it was probably up to what my expectations were. I never questioned it. Even in those years, with very close heterosexual couples, I'm sure the men discussed it, but I don't think we women, we really didn't discuss sex. We discussed everything else, but we didn't discuss what our sex life was like. I think it's done much more today, but it really didn't happen in my lifetime, in my heterosexual lifetime.
And in those years between when you got married and falling in love at age 40, did you have any other crushes on women or anything, any sort of things there? You continued to have those feelings?
Oh, yes. I was an ardent curler, and we often went away, four women on a curling team to curl, and we would stay overnight and things like that, and I loved that. And or if our husbands went away, there were a group of us would go on a weekend and do things, go down to the city, stay in the Royal York, go to the theater and do stuff like that. I loved that. And we used to have, we never have had anything real intimate, but we had some good times together, but nothing sexually oriented as far as those women were concerned. But I cared very strongly about some of those women. More than just a normal friendship, I think. I probably could have gone to bed with them if I knew what to do. But it wasn't in the cards. I didn't know.
Never any idea of any desire to sort of kiss one of them or...
Oh, yes. We have. Never on the lips, but hugged and kissed with true feeling, but not sexual at all. Probably, like I say, it probably could have been, but it wasn't in the cards. And they would have died if any advances had been made, because I don't think they were any more aware, probably less aware than I, because I had feelings for women, and I'm sure some of them had no feelings other than friendship for women.
So you fall deeply in love at 40, and then you being an avid reader, how did you, as part of the process of understanding what was happening, did you go and research, or how did you come to understand what was going on?
I can't remember. You see, I couldn't bring a book into the house because I would be terrified of finding out. I could go to the library and look at things there, which I did, but I never brought anything home because I would be mortified if my children were old enough then too to see what I was reading. And of course they were 40 when I was 40. Heather was already 20 and gone. So I didn't really have an opportunity to learn very much. And so I didn't know very much until I actually had a relationship. And then I think Kim helped me learn because she already knew the books that I should read. And so I did try. I actually had some books in the house then after that. But I was pretty naive. Very naive, I guess.
Now in the 1950s and the 60s, in publications like Chatelaine, for example, there did begin to appear some articles that talked about lesbianism. Had you ever seen any of those?
No. I say no very, very quickly there, but as a matter of fact, probably when I first got married, 55, I probably was getting Chatelaine. I don't remember. If it was there, I don't remember it. And yet you would think I would have read it. I'm sure I would have read it, but I don't. It didn't stick with me. This moment, I can't remember that, Karen.
So it doesn't sound as if there was any kind of personal connection to it at that time.
I don't believe so. I hadn't developed a connection at all in my mind. It's only now when I look back at all these things, I certainly didn't. I was unaware. Can't believe it quite, but there you are. Yeah.
And that, when you fell in love for that first time with a woman, was that with Kim or was that?
Yes, it was. Yes, with Kim.
Right. And that just came out of the blue?
Yeah. She was the director of a provincial Girl Guide camp in Ontario, and I had gone up there as a leader, a site leader. And one night, the leaders were invited. Yes, and we'd gone in for the sing-song, and I happened to sit beside Kim, and we were all wearing shorts, and her leg touched mine, and I felt an electricity that I had never felt in my entire life, never, ever, ever. I didn't know what it was. All I knew was it was wonderful. I didn't sleep all night. I went home after that sing song and got into my sleeping bag in the tent, and I didn't sleep all night. I knew that she jogged every morning through the camp and checked every campsite. I got up at 6:30 the next morning just to see her jog past the camp. She didn't even know my name. I was just one of probably, I don't know, there were 30-some campsites and probably about 4 leaders on every camp, so it wasn't unusual that she didn't know my name. I finished out my week. I slept very little. And one of the girls on the campsite knew something was wrong. Funnily enough, she was a lesbian, and I didn't even know she was at that time. We've become great friends since. She's Danish and lives in Denmark now, and we still visit. But anyway, she knew there was something wrong, and she tried to ask me questions. And I was hesitant to explain how I was feeling to her because she would think I was something wrong with me. And I didn't. So she subsequently remained in Toronto with another woman, this Danish girl, and we kept in touch. And we finally came to talk about it. In the meantime, I had gone home. I had thought of everything possible to try to be in touch with this person, and I didn't know why. I really didn't know why. All I knew was that I wanted to be in her company, I wanted to hear her voice, and I lived with that for, that would be in July, and I lived with that the whole year, and during that year which was 1975, I wrote her letters and wanted to hear of her. I even signed up to go to a leaders camp at our Mexican World Center called in Cuernavaca because I heard she was going to be there. She didn't go, which was a real disappointment to me, but anyway, she didn't go. And the following year, I went back on campsite. And on the weekends, we used to go into a small community near the camp. The girls had about a half a day when they weren't in camp, when there was an exchange of girls. And we used to go into a pub. And there was a live sort of Western band, and the girls would dance. The leaders would dance with each other. And so this weekend, the following year, we were all in there, and I finally asked Kim to dance with me, and she finally noticed me. And so our friendship, romance, and eventual partnerships began then because something happened for her, but it took her all that time. And so the next while was kind of stormy because she was in a relationship, and so it was very difficult for her, and I was married, and it was very difficult for me, and so it developed from there.
I'm wondering, because church has obviously been very important in your life, it sounds as if it was in the early period, certainly. If through any of your readings of the scriptures or listening to sermons or anything like that, you had ever been given any information on the Christian perspective on homosexuality?
Never, Karen. I had no influence in terms of sexual identification at all. I only believed that it couldn't be right, and therefore I felt unclean, and I had a great deal of difficulty coming to terms with it. We would do things as a woman, a couple of women, and I would always. It took me a long time to overcome those feelings, partly out of fear of being discovered, and partly out of an inner turmoil that I couldn't accept who I was. But still knowing that something was happening to me and something was a new experience that I wanted to be part of and knew that's where I belonged. Even with all of the negatives that happened, I still felt very strongly about my love for her. And by then I knew that she loved me too. So it was from no outside influences that I gained any feelings, opinions, education about who I was.
And would you say, speaking now in the present day, do you feel that you have always been gay, or that you became gay, or something else?
I can't answer that. I don't know the answer to that. I many times have, as we've done today, looked back on my childhood and my youth and wondered about some of the circumstances. It's certainly indicated to me that I've always cared for women more than beyond friendship, caring. But I really don't know. If I'd have had a relationship with a woman when I was 17 or 18, whether that would have changed my direction in life, I often wonder. I don't know that. It probably would have. But it never did. It never happened, so it's hard to say for sure.
Well, is there anything else that you would like to add about sort of who you were before before the 1970s, about what it was like growing up at that time, or...
See, I think I said it earlier, and probably it's a very strong influence in my life that I can't remember unhappiness, ill treatment, prejudice, all of those negative aspects of many people's lives. I really didn't experience. I was a happy child and had a happy home, as far as I knew. I didn't feel threatened in any way growing up. So I can't express any negative feelings because I didn't have them then. And when I hear now, and in the past few years, of the tremendous negatives that have been in people's lives, it's very difficult for me to understand and relate to because I never had them. And I don't deny that they happen because I know they do, and I know it's reality for many people. But for me, it's my whole youth I can only look back on as a happy one. And I never felt feelings of jealousy about my sister, even though she was younger and had an accident when she was 8 years old with a bicycle and had a broken leg and stuff, and know that she had a lot of attention from my parents. I didn't even think about that. It just wasn't in my thoughts. So I that's my background. It was a happy life, and it still is, and basically a positive person. Oh, does that answer that?
Yeah.
Not probably very well, but...
Thank you very much.
I really believe that I've been honest with you to the best of my ability, because I don't think it accomplishes anything for your purposes if I wasn't, so I hope I've been helpful.
Mm-hmm. You have. Thank you.
You're welcome.